بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا عاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Respected elders, brothers, sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Growing up as a Muslim child in Canada, I had many experiences. One of the experiences I was afraid of and I was worried about, but I never had, alhamdulillah, was getting beat up. So I was always worried about that. As a youngster, alhamdulillah, my parents were very nice to me, and I guess I was good too, so I never had to experience a good beating. But even when I went to study then afterwards, the Islamic school, I was always somewhat worried that, you know, one day, when is that the day going to come? I was hoping it would never come, but I was always worried that it would come one day. And I was always worried about that. But alhamdulillah, nothing happened. But this is something that's very common. It's very common in many cultures. And even here in Canada and North America, it was very common until recently, well, about a decade or maybe a bit more, but it was common for parents and even for teachers to beat their children. So like I said, I went to the Islamic school. Alhamdulillah, I evaded it for 10 years, and now it doesn't happen there anymore either. They stopped the practice as well. But the reason I'm bringing this up today is because October, we know it's Islamic History Month, but that's not why I'm bringing it up. It's also Child Abuse Prevention Month, and that's why I'm mentioning this. Now, you might hear the term child abuse, and you might think that it's something that's very foreign, or that should be foreign to us. You know, perhaps it doesn't apply to us, or you might think that it's just, you know, something that basically a big fuss is made out of it, when really there's nothing to be worried about. You know, but at the same time, many of us have probably either experienced some sort of beating, or we know of people who have, where it wasn't just a matter of a simple smack or a slap, but it was actually more than that, where there was actually injury that was endured. And that's like back home, but even here, and within our communities, we still come across, I mean, I know people, I know children who were beat, who were bruised because they were beat. So while recognizing that, we also have to look at the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To the point that it's actually against the Sunnah, and it's actually forbidden to strike someone, anyone, to the extent that it causes injury. That's forbidden. But first of all, let's start off by looking at what the Qur'an tells us generally about children and the value that the Qur'an places. So first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the value of the parent-child relationship when He actually swears by that relationship. When He says, وَوَالِدْهُمَا مَا وَلَدْ. And we know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by something, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا, and in other places as well, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ, we know that it's actually because there's some importance that is being highlighted in those things, and there's some value in that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by His creation, He's doing so to highlight its value and its importance. And one of the qualities of the believers is to ask that our children, to make dua that our children become coolness of our eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the believers of Bana, that they say, وَالَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. So we see that as well. And children have been described as a form of glad tidings as well. So we have the examples of Yahya alayhi salam to Zakariya alayhi salam. He was described as a form of glad tidings. Ismail alayhi salam to Ibrahim alayhi salam. He was also described as a form of glad tidings. And in fact, Ibrahim alayhi salam had made dua for a gift from amongst the pious, right? Rabbi habli minas salihin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him Ismail alayhi salam. So from all of this, we learn that children are considered something that are very valuable and something that are very positive in our religion. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also described children as a trial. Now, granted, the context of that is a trial in terms of our worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our wealth and our children are described as a trial, a fitna, when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can actually broaden that as well and take it as a trial in other ways too. And one of the trials that we face, one of the challenges that we face as parents, and for those of us who are not parents yet, or whose children have grown up now, I'm sure you have grandchildren or you will have grandchildren inshallah very soon. And those who don't have children, inshallah, hopefully you will have children very soon. So inshallah, everyone can benefit from this. So one of the challenges that we face, one of the trials, is that of discipline. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of us were raised with perhaps strictness, where, you know, beatings or hitting was common. But let's take a look at the conduct of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it comes to children. So Anas radiallahu anhu relates now. Anas radiallahu anhu had spent a lot of time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a child, up to 10 years. And he relates that, "I never saw anyone who was more compassionate to his family than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam initially had a son, Ibrahim, who passed away later on. So he says that the wet nurse of his son Ibrahim lived in one of Medina's border neighborhoods. So it was far from where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. It was on the outskirts of the city. And the husband of the wet nurse was a blacksmith. So she used to live at the borders of the city. Plus, on top of that, her husband was a blacksmith. So basically, what he's indicating is that it was difficult going there. Right? Because when you go to a place where a blacksmith is working, it's not very pleasurable. But the Prophet ﷺ would go there every day to the smoke-filled house. So the house would be filled with smoke, but the Prophet ﷺ would go there every day and he would embrace, he would hug his son, he would sniff him and kiss the child. This is reported by Imam Bukhari. So there we see how the Prophet ﷺ was towards the child. Right? Even though he was a bit far, even though there was some trouble involved, he would go and he would hug the child, he would kiss the child, he would show affection. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu also says that the Prophet, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once kissed, and this is a well-known story, kissed Hassan radiallahu anhu, Hassan ibn Ali, while a person, a sahabi by the name of Baqra bin Habis, was present nearby. So he was sitting nearby, and when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kissing Hassan radiallahu anhu's grandson, he said, Baqra said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I have 10 children, but I have never kissed any one of them. 10 children, subhanAllah. And he said he hadn't kissed any of them. So the Prophet ﷺ gave him a look. He looked at him and said, "Those who show no mercy to others will be shown no mercy." So the Prophet ﷺ is indicating to us that our relationship with our children should be based on love and kindness and mercy. And there's other ahadith that show his love. You know, he would hug children, he would kiss children, he would carry them on his back. He would even play around with them. If he was passing by perhaps on the street and he saw children playing, he would get involved and he would, you know, be nice to them, be kind to them. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not be harsh with children either. Even if their parents were harsh with them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not be harsh. Let's look at the story. So Khalid radiallahu anha, she reports, she says that she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her father. And she was wearing a yellow shirt. So the Prophet ﷺ liked it and he said, Sana, which the narrator says meant good in the Ethiopian language. So the Prophet ﷺ got happy when he saw her. And then she says, "I then started playing with the seal of the Prophet," between the Prophet ﷺ's shoulder. So you probably know that there was a raised part of flesh surrounded by moles on his back, which was considered the seal of the prophethood, basically a sign of the prophethood. So she, as a child, she went onto his back and she started playing with it. And her father rebuked her. And she says, "My father rebuked me harshly for that." But the Prophet ﷺ said, "Leave her." The Prophet ﷺ said, Leave her. It's okay. Leave her. And then he made dua for her, invoked Allah to grant her a long life 3 times. This is also reported by Imam Bukhari. It's also very clear in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ that he never hit anyone. He never hit anyone at all, except in battle. And often, but at the same time now, you might be thinking, oftentimes we hear the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says that, you know, command your children to offer salah when they're 7, and if they don't do so by the age 10, then you should hit them. And sometimes this hadith is used as evidence that, you know, we can beat our children. So there's a few points to note in mind. First of all, the Prophet ﷺ himself never hit anyone, let alone children. So that indicates to us that it's not something that's generally encouraged. Then secondly, the command there where he said, okay, hit your children, was actually for something as important as salah, first of all. That's something that, you know, we know that the child needs to get used to first. So he didn't say hit him right away. He said first, command them to offer salah first at age 7. So another indication in that is we should encourage our children to offer salah, obviously, at a young age. But we shouldn't be too harsh with them until the age of 7, because he's telling us the age of 7 is when we should command them to do so. And then if the child doesn't start offering salah until age 10, then he said to hit. Now scholars have clearly set conditions about hitting. So whenever the Prophet ﷺ, for example, in this instance, talks about hitting children, the condition is that, number one, the hitting should not be done out of anger. That's a very important one. That's a very important one, because a lot of times what will happen is the teacher or the parent will get angry at the action of the child and then will go ahead and hit them. So that's wrong. So first of all, it shouldn't be done out of anger. And secondly, which is also very, very important, is that it should not cause any injury or harm. So this hitting shouldn't be done out of anger, shouldn't cause any injury or harm, and it should not be to the face either. Now what's interesting is that that's exactly the same ruling, the same law that applies in Canada today. Exactly the same. So parents are allowed to use, the Supreme Court of Canada ruled on this matter in 2004. The Supreme Court ruled that parents are allowed to use reasonable force. Parents are allowed to use reasonable force to discipline children. Now what is reasonable depends on the situation. Depends on the situation. But clearly, any injury that requires medical attention is not reasonable discipline. That's not reasonable. If the child is getting hurt and needs medical attention, that's not reasonable. Discipline that results in bruising or broken skin can also be considered abuse. The Supreme Court also ruled that blows or slaps to the head are unreasonable. And that's what the Sunnah teaches us as well, right? So the Prophet ﷺ said that we shouldn't strike anyone in their face. The other condition that has been set is that physical punishment cannot be given to a child under the age of 2 or over the age of 13. Now that's important, because sometimes, you know, parents, and especially young parents who are new parents perhaps, might get annoyed at children who are very young. And we see numerous cases, not so much alhamdulillah in our community, but generally, of shaken baby syndrome, where parents have taken babies and in an effort to quiet them down, they have shook them violently, so much so that it can result in brain injury, in blindness, or even death. So babies should never be hit or shaken. And we should remember that if you're using physical force, it's actually suggesting or teaching the children that it's actually okay. It's actually okay to use physical force. And it teaches children when they grow older that it's okay to react with violence, and it's okay to react violently and when they're unhappy. And that's obviously something we don't want our children to learn. So if it's going to be used, it should be used sparingly and for good reason. And in fact, if you think about discipline, punishment should be just a small part of that. Discipline is much more than punishment. Discipline is much more than punishment. And what's actually recommended is positive discipline. So positive discipline involves a number of things. But some of the things it involves is, number one, defining acceptable behavior. Defining acceptable behavior for our children. Okay, what is acceptable? And reasonable consequences for breaking rules. Some of the important elements of reasonable discipline, of positive discipline, are being consistent. So a lot of times, parents will say something one time, and then another time, they'll let the child do it. So there's no consistency. So the child gets confused. Using positive reinforcement is also another way. Praise, when warranted. A lot of times we don't use praise enough, or we don't use it properly. Praise can be used in form of for positive discipline. Timeouts. Timeouts is something I use with my daughter all the time. If she gets a little hyper and starts having a tantrum, you know, just give her a timeout. Preempting boredom. That's another thing I've come across and I've noticed myself, is that sometimes children will become either bored, or they'll become tired or hungry. They'll have a reason why they'll start acting up. So if you actually preempt these, it takes away the problem. Now, what's important is that the Supreme Court ruling that I mentioned to also applies to teachers, right? Because, as I mentioned earlier, it was common practice for parents and for teachers to use physical force against children. So the Supreme Court ruled that it's okay for teachers to apply force to remove a child from the classroom or to secure compliance with instructions. So not as a form of punishment, but if a child is not listening, you know, and is becoming wild, or if there's a reason, then a teacher can apply force for that goal. Now, in our Islamic school, that we have here at the masjid, alhamdulillah, we've had a good response, and I actually tried to do an informal survey of children every Saturday. So before they're leaving, I ask them if they're happy. So everyone has told me so far that they've been happy. So alhamdulillah, that's a good sign. But if the parents are not happy for some reason, please do let me know. In any case, what I was mentioning is, in our Islamic school, I've created a no-touching policy. So basically what that means is, I as a teacher and the other teacher should not have any contact with the children, any physical contact, except for handshakes or for a congratulatory, you know, pat on the back or on the head. And that's also very important, because there are other forms of abuse as well that we don't really talk about as much in our communities. But, you know, they are a problem. And oftentimes, we can have a form of contact that we might not have any malicious intent for, or we might not think anything bad of, but it can be misinterpreted as well. So for that reason, we've come up with this policy, and I certainly try and expect all the teachers, inshallah, to abide by that as well. So these are some important issues. There's a very good document on guidelines for positive discipline. I couldn't go through the whole thing and present it here, but it is on my website. Well, it's not yet, but I'm going to upload it, inshallah, after Jummah. So if you go to my website, sikandar.ca, inshallah, you'll find that document there. It has some very good tips and very good guidelines, so you can check that out, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, first of all, protect our children, allow us to raise them in the proper manner, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them to what is best for them in this world and in the hereafter.